The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome everybody. Happy Tuesday. Let's call this one October 23rd. I am Jack Berusian. Welcome to the Jack B Show, as they say in the introduction, where pit smarts meet street smarts. And, you know, I mentioned something the other day. I don't know if any of you caught that. I was talking about how these sell-offs are three-day moves. Usually it's the third day. Today is the third day. I wanted people to be aware of that. In fact, I was talking to a couple of people. They usually said, how quick and how fast are these pullbacks? I said, usually about 3 days. 3 days is what I look for. Let's see if indeed, and we got right down to the low end of the trading range today, which was, again, another quality test of what I think is just nothing more than a range. Noise, folks, all right? But take advantage of it. It's one of the reasons why I said when we saw volatility as low as it's been over the course of those last few days, and if you remember correctly, folks, we were talking about volatility under 15. It was trading, it was near 14. We were talking about complacency in the market and how it makes all the difference in the world because you want to be there to take advantage of that. Well, for those that did, bravo and brava, I will say. It's a, you know, bravi, I think is what it is. That's the plural. But there is where lies the difference between those that are able to take advantage of what they see, the market they have, not the one they want. Look, do I want this thing to go higher? Of course I do, like the rest of you. And by the way, did you see the way the market turned today on that Apple news? I love it. Apple came out with a whole line of new products. They are really turning the whole iPad experience into the iPod experience, where everything's going to revolve around the iPad. That ecosystem is just amazing to me. But I do want to talk a little bit about this three-day sell-off, about the nature of it. And we got a good show today. We're going to have Alan Rohrbach on. We're going to have Adam Westphalen on, who's going to come and talk about his sector work. But, you know, all of this, again, you know, leads me to where we're at right now, which is a situation that caught maybe some of the bulls napping this time, you know, with commodities falling anywhere from 1 to 2% from stocks. Look what happened to crude oil. Crude oil all the way down, 85 and change, I think I saw a trade earlier today. You know, that's, one of the lowest levels since July 13th. Well, you know, but think about that volatility. All right, I want you to think about what's going on. It's chopping in a range, which is still higher on the year. Let's not forget that. You know what I mean? When we're talking about where the S&P settled today, it's still higher on the year, folks. All right? But, I do want to understand the nature of this pullback. This three-day pullback so far has been fast. It's been vicious. It started Friday, if you think about it. And really, I think it might have seen its conclusion today. If nothing else, I think we hit some critical levels of support where I'm starting to see some accumulation. A lot of this sell-off, folks, has been on light volume. A lot of this sell-off, folks, has been coming out of the Eurozone. Because if you remember correctly, a lot of their fiscal years will end in just another couple of days. And they need a couple of days to settle their stock. It takes them a couple days longer than it takes us. Because they have to SWIFT out. Remember that SWIFT? The Society for Worldwide Interface Financial Transactions, Interbank Financial Transactions. The one that they cut Iran off of. And why Iran and the Iranians are having so many problems these days. Well, that is the same SWIFT system that is anything but SWIFT. So because of that, in many cases, portfolio, man, and I make light of it, but you know what? It's one of the reasons the market got hit today, if you noticed. And you know what? I'm kind of disappointed with the some of the rhetoric that came out of the pundits, of which I am one, so I can say that, because I don't know if any of them really caught that. You know that you saw. In fact, you could almost see the market stop the sell-off when Europe closed. You know, and that was hours before the announcement came out on Apple, where you know we saw a little bit of support come in for the Nasdaq stocks, which paired its losses. But you know, I guess the question is this, folks. All right, why does the big footprint take place in the market? Well, I can tell you why. It's because of the illiquid nature of the market. And by the way, have you noticed today's action was really indicative of one that's almost a skewed performance of the market? You know, you saw the Dow, which was getting clobbered primarily because there were five stocks. And earnings, I will admit, are bad. Look, I'm not a fool, folks. All right? When I see the earnings the way they come out and the guidance the way it's come out, I get it. There's a repricing that takes place. So you've got a few of those stocks that are repricing. You know, and again, I think that, you know, the materials, the energy stocks, which are among the biggest losers today, you know, and a lot of it, you know, was because of the fact that you saw oil getting clobbered. Oil, by the way, you know, I cannot see running an oil company unless you hedge out that exposure, you know. And if any of you are out there that have an oil company, or if you got an oil stock, let me know, because we'll help you hedge out that exposure. If nothing else, I will direct you to the people, be it the guys over at the Bull and Bear Institute. You know, hey, I am just a messenger. I'm a director of traffic, all right, just and a seeker of truth. But I guess what I'm saying is I would, you know, have a hard time sleeping at night if I had that much exposure to that kind of volatility, because, I mean, that is very volatile. We're talking about something that was trading almost $100 a barrel, you know, for WTI, you know, crude just you know, a few short weeks ago, and now it's down to 85 and change, $86. It's a big move. You know, I mean, and I'm not an oil expert. I don't plan, you know, on being one. I'm not going to go out into the fields. I will listen to those that understand that game. And, you know, they've always said it's a very volatile game to be in that market. But remember, there are also so many different distillates within crude. You've got the, you know, D2, which is your diesel fuel, which is, and then, of course, you know, your heavy tar, which comes from Canada. There's so many different kinds, folks. I got to tell you, you know, your sweet Saudi crude, you know, which is where they make the jet fuel out of. So all of that, you know, it really kind of creates havoc with the pricing of market. Again, the distillates, remember, are so fractured and so fragmented that in many cases you can see so many disconnects. So I can understand that. But just the fact is that when you see this type of volatility, understand that one of the reasons that you're seeing it is not only because you're being dragged down by earnings, which is expected, and I get it. Look, you know what? Again, repricing takes place, but it's because of the illiquid nature of a market that right now is holding its breath before the election. So all it takes is one or two large orders. And understand this, folks, if this was happening on a gigantic volume, you know, I'd say something different. But the last 3 days have been a basic for me, a one of those textbook vicious pullbacks that takes people by surprise and ends up on the lower end of the trading range. That's it's as plain and simple as that. Now, for it to really confirm that it's something more than that, and look, it could it be? Of course. But let the market tell you that. You know, and Alan Rohrbach, who's going to be on in just a minute or two here, is going to be the first one to let you know that he always is the first one to tell me to let the market show me where it's going, to prove where it's going. Well, right now, all it's really proven to me, and he might disagree, is that it's testing the lower end of the trading range. You know, and with that, of course, comes all of the volatility that, you know, you see happening with commodities and everything else. The story that I think, in fact, it was a double whammy, you know, I don't think it was really earnings, folks, that drove the market today. I'll tell you right now, I don't think that's what it was. I think it was two things together that coincided that really ended up maybe causing the sell-off, whereas the earnings story was maybe, if nothing else, you know, something that greased the wheel. All right, let's put it that way. But what for me was the story, and get this, understand this, all right, is the chance that our Fed chairman might not be around next year. He might not. Look, he might pull a Lyndon Johnson on us. He might say, I will not accept, nor will I, right? I mean, whatever the line is, it's, you know what, Alan, you're a couple years older than me. You probably know it better than I do. But no, that, you know what, I think that is one of the biggest problems this market is facing, because we have got, and I, whether you like him or you hate him, understand one thing. We are in the middle of surgery. And that's exactly what the Fed chairman is, the surgeon. Understand that. Okay? And Alan, I want you to get in on this, please. All right? Because, you know, you're probably somebody who's better than anybody equipped to talk about this. Do you think, I mean, what is your take on this? Do you think it was all earnings? Do you think it was the Fed chairman's, I mean, tell me what you think. Am I just ranting?
Actually not. And I put out a blog post, I put out a market alert to clients when I saw what was going on today. And yes, it is earnings in part, because one thing that's happened here is you've had the triple threat finally come to pass in the market of weak earnings and the poor guidance on top line revenues.
Okay.
And wait, we also had serial weak data. So you had data, earnings, and forward view all together. But Here's the thing. You are so right, Jack, and it gets back to your classic saying. You always tell people, don't trade the market you want.
Trade the market you have.
You trade the market you have.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people think because we're at a new six-week low that we have somehow made some sort of decision here. And in truth, the more critical level, based on historically where the market pushed up through on first the ECB and then the Fed QE influence, was the 1400 area. So, as usual, how many times have you heard me as a bear say this? The bears have gotten the market to break, but can they get it to break from a break? They have to take out 1,387 on a close.
And that's for the technical,
that's
for the technical support
view.
That you
That'll
have
tell the bears they actually have the market that is what they want, is become what they have. Otherwise, this is a sell-off into. We have moved once again down toward the critical area, not made the real decision
yet. You know, I'm glad you said that, because we're going to have Adam Westphalen on the phone, you know, in the next segment here. And Adam is an RIA. He does some wonderful sector work. And Alan, I don't know if you've ever seen or listened to Adam, but he's got he really has a marvelous grasp on it. And I want to see how that kind of works with the technicals of the market.
Should be interesting.
It should be really interesting, you know, because I think I love that feel and I love that analysis. But let's get back to it here. You know, Alan, we've got a couple of things that are happening and coinciding with the marketplace. Yesterday, my man, Mitt Romney, did not have a good debate.
I am
going to be the first one to admit it. I DVR'd it. I watched it after I got home from the Bear game, and I sat there and I cringed at some of the answers that he gave.
Well, he's playing defense. Well, he got ahead, and now he's trying to play defense. You cannot win playing defense.
Am I, and I'm going to be the first one to say that the market goes up whenever I think Mitt Romney does well in the polls. I think yesterday's performance in the debate was another reason the market might have sold off this morning.
Here, I thought the same thing myself this morning. It's that you have the guy who has the better answers for how to get the economy moving again. And it's the dilemma I pointed out to you, Jack. You know, when I was a bit more bearish, and admittedly the market technically kept confirming it could go up, and you were more bullish on QE anticipation, you said, you know what, you cannot fight the central banks. And whether
I still
or not
feel, by the way,
later,
that way. And people are, you know what, the only problem is, are we going to have the same central banker who just told us he was going to print money?
And the problem is, the better the Equities Act, the more the average person is likely to think, you know, maybe Obama's right and what he's put in place is going to turn out okay. The best thing for a bright economy and a great stock market in 2015 and 2014 is if you have a real disconnect sometime in the next couple weeks that tells people that this thing is not as good as they're trying to convince everybody it is.
Well, here, you know, we got a couple of minutes in this segment before we're going to bring Adam out next. Give me an idea of what your people are talking about. You know, you're talking to a lot of people in Europe. Today's sell-off came out of Europe. I mean, I'm so upset that I didn't, you know, because I talked to my friends out there and they're like, yeah, I mean, we're busy. We've got stuff to do. Remember, we want to settle up because we've got October coming at the end of the month. We get paid. And I was like, what? And it dawned on me that
end
I completely
of year for a lot
forgot.
Of end of year.
Having been the president of a division of Commerce Bank, it dawned on me. And I guess, and the other thing is, remember, they also have to get some of that money swifted back over, which takes a couple of days. So they do more than T plus three, don't they, Alan? It takes them a couple more days than that.
Yeah, actually, it's about 5 days. So you're right into it today and tomorrow.
That's right. And I think that, and again, I think that the weakness that we're seeing is being misread. You know, the move to the lower end of the trading range, unfortunately, has coincided with what is this perception that earnings are just going to be completely horrible, which would be the case if I think that China was in a hard landing, which I don't think it is. But there are a lot of other things that are happening. But anyway, give me your take, please, before I finish.
I absolutely agree. What we've had, as I said when you first asked me, is several days of the economic data, and it's a limited amount of economic data. And here's where you may get the surprise for the bears tomorrow. They may get ambushed, just like the bulls got ambushed by DuPont, 3M, etc., having not just weak earnings, but
the weak guidance is really what did it.
The bears like me have been focused on for a while. I believe the global economy is weakening. The problem is, you never know when that's going to turn up in a large enough measure in corporate income and earnings at the same time that it makes a difference to the stock market. And this seems to be the period. But again, these things run in short-term cycles. We just had poor data and poor earnings and top-line growth all together for a few days. I wouldn't be short down here with Chinese money, Jack.
Hey, well, you know what? I think you're right, Alan. Anyway, here, we're going to take a few minutes, folks, and when we come back, you know, we're going to get Adam Westphalen on, as promised, I think, direct from Connecticut, I think is where he's at, you know, on the East Coast there. And, you know, talk a little bit about some of the sector work, how it plays into the sell-off that we've had for the last 3 days, especially because he looks at these various financials, commodities, and various and so forth. Again, this is the Jack B. Show. Don't forget, you go to Open Markets, which is the CME site. You can see my pretty face doing those market updates 3 days a week. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on the Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull and Bear Institute. Bull and Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Jack B. Show, and sitting here with Alan Rohrbach, who's co-hosting for the hour. But this is a time where I love to bring out Adam Westphalen, who you have all heard before. Adam is the founding member. I guess he formed Mosaic Portfolio Strategies. He's the chief investment officer. He's a lot of things. He's a certified financial planner, a chartered market technician. You know what? I think one day he's going to cure cancer. He's got 14 children. How many children do you have, by the way? You got a lot of kids, don't you, Adam?
Oh, man, you'd put me over the top. I have four. 14 would be a lot. Four's enough.
No, I jest, but God bless you, man. God bless them all. Hey, listen, we've had a big sell-off these last 3 days. Give me your take on it, and then if you don't mind, why don't you share with us what some of your sector work is telling you, because I think that that's key.
Well, it's interesting. I did catch the last part of your segment before. And I would say Alan's spot on his SPX work. We're looking at that channel, the 1420 to 1460 range that we've had literally, three or four U-turns in the last couple months now, especially since QE3. And, we would agree that the price target there is at least kind of, 1380 to 1390-ish. Once we get there, if we do, I should say, then we can really get a better gauge of what this market has in mind going forward.
You know, just mentioning it, I was doing the show the other day. This is before the sell-off. Last Thursday, I think I was on, or Wednesday, and I saw the VIX under 14. I think it was maybe right at 1390 or 1420, and I thought to myself, they're giving protection away at this level, and I kept, and one of the shows I did was basically on complacency,
because
if you remember, so now I guess here's the question: is this the lower end of the trading range for you now? Are you trading it that way? And I guess, is this pre-election volatility in your mind?
Again, I mean, we don't really specifically try to attribute any moves to anything. I mean, I think you make a good point about some of the, if you will, kind of squaring away across the pond there. But we're basically looking at it just saying, okay, like I talked about last week, and we brought risk in really tight just because, again, the lack of volatility, the high level of complacency. We'll see what this does. Fortunately, our models, because of the collaring that we do, really puts us into a position where we just re-upped everything this past weekend because it was options expiration on Friday, as you know. We're just going to sit back and see what this wants to do over the next 2 to 4 weeks here.
Adam, what does your sector work tell you these days? I mean, of all the sectors you're watching, how many have turned bearish, how many are bullish, because that's always very interesting to me. I always like watching that.
Well, again, I mean, at the moment, what you're going to see is really kind of everything over the last 2 to 3 days, just kind of, the bottom falling out, at least on a short-term basis. It does not give us enough of a barometer just yet to really say, okay, this is a specific trend change. I did mention last week, though, that a lot of what I think are good industrial measures, the fact that crude is, well below 90, we're actually looking at probably those August pivots of 84. And if that gets taken out, we're going to be looking at, the mid to high 70s like we saw in June. The metals, clearly, if you take the more industrials like platinum, copper, palladium, those weren't looking that good before all this anyway, especially on a relative basis to the equity markets. And those are typically, the canary in the coal mine. So when we look across that spectrum, to me, I think this is a pretty good leading indicator that I think anyway that should be some follow-through, but we'll see. I mean, obviously this has been, as I say a lot, a very difficult market over the last couple of years here in terms of any kind of pullbacks.
Well, here's one of the things that concerns me is that we have got the commodity markets pulling back in an environment where I've got the Fed, who already announced they're going to be printing up $40 billion a month here. So I guess, it seems as almost there seems to be a disconnect. And Alan, I'd love to get your take on this too, because, I'm concerned that from a philosophical standpoint, I have got a Fed that's telling me they're going to inflate, but I've got commodity prices that are contracting. What does that mean?
Well, it's a good point, Jack. And hi, Adam. I certainly like your take on time to be a bit circumspect. As Jack says, well, it's before the election. There are some other reasons as well, especially as I noted at the end of the segment previous that, you've just had bad data and bad earnings and bad top line all together at once, and these things tend to go in cycles. And, I like your view also that you get down into 1390, 1380 on a purely technical level. That is where you can have the downside objective, in fact, of what was a loose double top in the December S&P futures. So that'd be around 1385. And in markets that want to stay bullish, sometimes you don't even get there. So maybe to be more like 90. But getting to Jack's question, yeah, there is a psychological disconnect. And a lot of people warned about it, not just analysts like me and people like Jack, who came in several weeks ago and said, for a market with QE and decent data, it stinks. It was
Something's
actually
wrong.
Terrible
yeah.
up at the top side. I think what's happening is people like Fed Governors Fisher, Plosser, Lacker, they were saying this is just not going to add to growth in the economy. And I think that's what we're seeing, a bit of the psychological fallout on the back of the weak news.
Adam, are there any sectors that seem to be doing worse than others?
Again, if you just look at the energy, the industrials, I mean, those are getting hit pretty hard, especially over the last 3 or 4 days. So, nothing shocking to me in terms of, again, it confirms the, when you look at a platinum, copper, palladium chart, look at crude, look at all the cotton, especially, has pulled off pretty well. So when you look at those things across the board that we look at in terms of trying to get a good barometer for what's happening internally, you know, those, I think, tell a pretty good story. And you know what? One of the things that we've done, we got to clean it up a little here. We got to give it a little time after QE3. But if you look at the move since the Fed has been doing what they've been doing for the last 3 years and back out what's attributable specifically to those actions, the market really hasn't gone anywhere, which is a pretty amazing stat that one of my analysts did for us. You know, it's just a diminishing effect.
You know what? Explain that again. Say, go through that again for those of us that are, you know, that are a little handicapped like myself here.
Sure. The gist of it is, if you take out the moves that took place in and around QE, really there hasn't been much net move overall in the market.
You know, Adam, I had an insight on that from someone else. I wasn't clever enough to come up with myself, but this gentleman is more of an energy specialist, and he ran a chart of the big recovery of the bull out of 0203 into the new highs, you know, out into 07 before it rolled over. He said, yeah, now price it in crude oil to show the same sort of thing, how much it was financial engineering inflated values in the stock market versus the real price of the stock market and things people use in the real world. And I think there's an analog there for the QE influence versus what the real market's doing without the extra juice.
It's interesting stuff, Adam. Let me ask you this. Is there anything that you're watching that nobody seems to be paying attention to that, you know, I mean, aside from that, because that was good?
Well, you know, like we talked about last week, I mean, certainly there's a lot of interesting moves going on in futures. I know the big talk of the day is that essentially the gains of the last, you know, year to date and over the last year have all been taken back across the commodity complex. So there's a lot of stuff. I mean, certainly not enough time to get into everything that we're seeing, but you know, the yen is tickling its May and June pivots. There's a lot of, as I say, market structure. For example, you know, lower highs or higher lows, et cetera, depending on what you're looking at and which direction, that can give you some pretty good indications of some developing trends that we're watching.
Hey, Adam, before I lose you, one more question. If we lose Ben Bernanke as our Fed chairman, is that good or bad?
I don't know. I mean, when everybody always says don't fight the Fed, but again, our work internally says actually it's a misnomer that, yeah, in the very short term, it's not something you want to deal with. I mean, clearly, that's all relative too. I mean, 2, 3, 5 years might be considered short term to some and long term to others. So, you know, I view it as what you guys were talking about a little while ago. The market is clearly telling you what it wants to do, and it's certainly different than what people think the Fed is
Adam, good stuff, my friend. Adam Westphalen, thank you. Thanks again. And you know what? I want you to make sure that you come back again next week and keep talking about this.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Adam Westphalen, folks, again, he is the Chief Investment Officer of Mosaic Portfolio Strategies. Good stuff. All right, we're going to come right back. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us, you missed a wonderful segment with Adam Westphalen. I'm glad I've got him on once a week. He's a registered investment advisor. He sees the world from a different point of view. And, you know, with us, of course, for the hour is Alan Rohrbach. He is the founder of Rohr International. Rohr blah, dash hyphen. Rohr, give me, plug it for yourself here, would you?
R-O-H-R hyphen blog. If you search engine that, it'll come up because we update it actively enough, you'll get it. And it's good general information. And here and there, I even put in a link to my full institutional research because, frankly, those days I'm in a hurry and I don't have time to evolve it into a blog. So certainly come in and enjoy the information.
There you go. That was the commercial for the day for Alan. I like that. That's nice to be able to get that plug in for you. Hey, so you know what? We're seeing a lot of volatility, my friend. We're seeing it in gold. You know, as you heard Adam talking, you know, the whole commodity sector is basically back to where it started. You know, if you're looking at gold, if you're looking at oil, if you're looking at
copper,
some of these other copper.
One of your favorites.
You know, I am concerned twofold. Number one, that the market is not reacting the way it should in the wake of a Fed that is printing up money. And number two, that I'm missing something. I hate when I feel like I'm missing something. Tell me I'm missing something or tell me I'm not missing something. And the other part is tell me that I'm wrong, you know, because I don't see a reason why I got to be fighting the Fed.
Well, the two things there are, I think everybody is not so much missing, but has been so delayed in having to see the full impact of a global slowing turn up in equities because of the Fed. And on CNBC, Gary Kaminsky said today something I think summarizes the thoughts of a lot of us when it's very hard to understand when the general slowing, which we've seen in the OECD statistics for months now, we've seen it in IMF, World Bank, etc., when that is going to create enough top-line weakness that the companies can no longer engineer good earnings.
And today we saw that. You know, today right. It almost felt like this. And Alan, you tell me if I'm wrong, and I don't mean to interrupt you. Yeah,
go ahead.
Actually, I do mean to interrupt you. It's my show.
But
lay it
on me, Jack.
No, but it felt as if, you know, there was a weight hanging on the market. You know, you had a sell-off for a couple of days. Market bounced back yesterday. We saw that. But it still felt weak. You know, you had the debate, which I don't think was good, and then the story about Ben Bernanke, but it was all weighing on the market. What really I think drove it down today hard were the earnings releases. Instead of being down 100 points in the Dow, we were down 200 because
right.
We saw those, you know, the industrials react the way they did.
Well, and the slower global growth has been able to have been offset previous by the companies by cost cutting, but we said for a while, cost cutting as in layoffs, and there are less people working, not just here, but globally, relatively speaking. Even though you're gaining jobs here, you have a smaller consumption base, and at some point, companies cutting. If one company does it, it's enlightened. If two companies do it, it's productive. everybody's cutting, which is layoffs, which Dow allowed that they were going to cut another 1,400 jobs worldwide at a time when most people feel corporate fat has been trimmed away. Now you're starting to eliminate.
But remember, 1,400 jobs in an environment where you've got 100,000 is not a big deal.
I understand that, but the fact they're still cutting instead of adding back. This is the point where second half of 2012 was supposed to be when we got some real traction again, and instead it seems to be going the other way. Now, how does that relate to the Fed? Well, it's what we said all along, and again, what Messrs. Plasser, Fisher, Lacker, me, not to put myself in their category of analysis and understanding.
Monsieur Rohrbach?
But quite a few other people have said the further quantitative easing is not going to really provide any direct stimulus for the economy. It's a psychological and comfort factor. You know, it's as a matter of fact, as I mentioned in a blog post a while back, and I mentioned on the air, the head of the Kansas City Fed, very enlightened lady, said, who's not buying a home because rates are too high? They're going to force rates lower? Who's not buying now? And who's not taking
well,
out?
Well, look, you know, it all goes. It's the chicken before the egg. We've always been saying it. You know, I've got a president right now or an administration that feels that they can, if they get the housing sector going, that jobs will come along with it. We all know that no one's going to buy a house unless they've got jobs.
You got that right, Jack.
You know, and then that's really, I think, you know, and Alan, I get it, and I think that, you know, when you hear these announcements by these corporations, it's a loud and clear message to D.C., you know, to the Oval Office and to Congress, number one, to get their act together in what is the fiscal cliff. I mean, we had the CEO from Caterpillar on yesterday. What did he say? When he was asked what he would do if he were in the middle of this thing with the fiscal cliff, he said, I'll tell you what I would do, just like I do right now with labor and management. You pull them into a room and you lock the door and you say, you are not leaving until we have
a solution. What an excellent comment.
And I got to tell you, I loved it. I was thinking to myself, I wish this guy were our president when he said that. You know, I mean, really. But I mean, look, the bottom line is this. We know where the problem is. Okay, and the question is, how do we trade and invest in a market that does not solve the problem? That's really the key. In fact, you know what? That's the million-dollar question, is it not?
Well, and I think that's where getting beyond our sheer view of the trends of the indices and the bond yields and the bonds, you know, conversely to the yields, et cetera, and the currencies and all that, it's where enlightened ideas have been coming from people in the actual stock picking sphere, which is who have been saying for a while, there's only one way to do this. Deep pocket companies where you get a much better yield than treasury bonds who are going to be in business even if we hit a short-term speed bump. And it doesn't have to do with the trend of the market and being a generalist and saying, I want to be in when the market's going up or down. It's a specialty function right now because there is no general trend. It's really a churning affair that could still have a significant sell-off, and you have to be invested in a way where you're getting either dividends or corporate bond yields that you feel are secure because they are in these various companies, consumer disposables and foodstuffs that people are, you know, that they're going to need to buy.
Well, you know, today, again, being the third day of the sell-off was the day, if you've got those itty-bitty little puts that you bought that had that little 14 VIX attached to them that went all the way up and exploded, what you do is you take advantage of that today, roll it down, take your money off the table. You say thank you very, very much to those that trade around you, that give you that opportunity, all right? And you move on, and you hold that downside protection, and if they go out worthless, so be it. You know, I mean, I like that, but Alan, I've got a question for you. Aside from the activity coming out of Europe, which really I think, you know, again, people didn't highlight enough today. When I talked to my friends out in Europe, I saw where the pressure was coming from. It really was coming from there. But I guess here's the real question for you. Are we preparing ourselves, and I say we, is the market preparing itself and pricing itself for what is going to be a very disappointing GDP number on Friday? And you know what? I am wondering now, because it's the first look at third quarter GDP, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, I am getting the feeling that people are starting to price in, and I want you to think about that, because there's that and of course other stuff that's coming out over the next couple of days. But I want you to think about this. You know, all of a sudden I've got this this heaviness on the market, this black cloud on the market. And it's either, you know, Obama's going to win and we're not going to be investing as we thought we were, or, you know, maybe this market is, you know, a lot slower and the economy is a lot slower. We'll come right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. As we wrap it up here for this Tuesday, and just a heads up here, they gave me a spot on CNBC this Friday morning on Worldwide Exchange. Usually I say no to that, but I've got a lot of people that I understand listening to this podcast in Australia. So aside from my cousins in Sydney, thank you very much, or Shonor Agalem, as we say in Armenian. What I would say to you is again, thank you. I appreciate that. That's one of the reasons I like doing that shot. I understand.
What time is that?
That's on 4:50 a.m. I'm usually downtown at 4 a.m.
That means they can watch it at dinner time in Australia.
They usually watch it at it's nighttime in Australia. It is daytime or the afternoon in Europe, and of course it's our early morning here. So I like doing that show, and I said yes to that for those fans down there. You guys are hardcore, and I love you. I know they get up in the middle of the night and they trade, so you know I've gotta appreciate that. Big week ahead of us, Alan. I asked you a question right before we went to break, and that was whether we are preparing ourselves for a bad GDP number. First, we'll look at third quarter GDP is on Friday, and I am, you know, almost at the point where I'm going to bite my nails wondering if whether we're going to see a number that just surprises people to the downside with a Fed that might be out of bullets, which is not a good combination and could be something that is one of those Six Sigma. Folks, am I thinking that's going to happen? No. But remember the old Six Sigma, three standard deviation moves in either direction. Start thinking like that. This is a possibility, so I like to prepare for it. You know, better being safe than sorry, right? And that's really what it comes down to. But give me your thoughts, Alan, and give me your thoughts on whatever else is coming out that might be important here.
Well, yeah, you're right, Jack. We do get the first look at Q3 GDP, and what's important, I think as much as you've said there might be a disappointment, any disappointment's going to be big because after the paltry 1.3% that we closed out Q2 with.
These are Dario Robini numbers.
Well, and they're looking for a bounce to 1.8. Now, you get it no better than 1.5, 1.3. It didn't improve. Along with the corporate guidance we're hearing, you're right, that could be a problem. And Thursday, and again, this comes in a little earlier our time because it's a European number essentially, at 3:30 in the morning on Thursday, we're going to see the first look at UK Q3 GDP. And that is looking to be about steady at about, approximately off 0.5%.
Give me a couple of minutes on UK and Spain and everything else that's going on in Europe because we didn't touch on that. You said UK, they're having problems over there.
Well, they are, and you're looking for the fourth quarter GDP to still be off another 0.5%. But then again, the UK has done its fiscal reform already, so that's all knock-on to some degree from government cutbacks, and their budget is looking quite a bit better, even if their inflation's a bit high. So,
we're not going to have a Bank of England meeting, and we were talking about that in the break,
until after the election, because next week, given that the first of the month of November is a Thursday, both the Bank of England and ECB defer their meetings for into the following Thursday. So instead of the first of the month, it's going to be on Thursday the 8th. So you have to watch out for that. But, you know, next couple of days, I mean, hey, there's going to be undoubtedly some goodly tea leaf reading into the Fed statement. No big projections of press conference this time. Of course, that's at 1:15 in the afternoon tomorrow on Wednesday. And we've got a series of minor Chinese numbers, things like the conference board leading index that comes out Thursday morning early. And then on Friday, before we see our GDP number, we're going to have the NMI business sentiment indicator, so along with a German GFK consumer confidence. So there's a bit of influence, but I think you're right, Jack. A lot of it is going to be that U.S. GDP number, what the Fed has to say. Let's face it, the problem with the equities right now, where Europe was holding up well until today, the problem with the equities right now is that U.S. companies that have been clever at using slower top-line growth to still manufacture earnings through judicious cost management are showing they've kind of hit the end of the line on being able to manage.
You can only fire
earnings.
So many people until you hit the, you know,
right.
What the skeleton crew limit,
exactly.
Basically.
That's,
you know, I get that. But, you know, I guess what I'm really trying to say when I keep talking about these three-day pullbacks is I don't want to read too much into the noise. Just like I didn't want to get too excited when the things started to rally because I didn't think it was time yet for the rally, I don't think this is really the break to get excited about. And this the last three, if anything, Alan, again, what I'm suggesting to people is if they've had money sitting on the sidelines, use this volatility to be able to put it to work. I mean, I like the idea of buying it as the markets are going down and selling it as the markets are going up. And, you know, and I guess, you know, one last thing, and I guess here's what I get solace in, and I'd love your take on this in the last couple of minutes. I don't see panic in the bond market. I don't see people running for the 10-year and the 30-year.
Not just 10-year and 30-year, but the bounce in European bonds has been very subdued. You know, when when the S&P...
If we were seeing panic there, I'd feel a little different about the break.
You mean the big haven bid?
Yes.
If you were seeing the
if
huge
If I saw
bid.
The 10-year, you know, at 162 and the 30-year, you know, at 280 or 260, I you know what? I think what I'd say then is, you know what? We have a real problem here as opposed to just the lower, you know, end of the range being tested.
Right. And what we have to look for is for the equities to calm down over the next day or two, because I have some short-term indicators I've mentioned before on the air, things I keep on hourly and 30-minute charts that tells me when the market, as I like to put it, is morphing out into a sustained aggressive bearish mood. And that occurred Friday on the way down, about the time they took out that 1430 area in the S&P, and it's maintained. Even with yesterday's late bounce, it's maintained that weak weakness consideration. But
it was an ABC correction so far. This is, it is, for my old Elliott wave counters out there, folks, you know what? We're going to look back in hindsight and look at this, and we're going to say this is an ABC correction.
Well, and as long as it calms down, by the time it gets washing out, I think they'll try to entice some more bears by trading below 1,400 in the S&P.
Yeah, they might.
But the real support is more so, like I said, in that 1,390, 1,387 area. As long as they get quiet down here, what's going to happen is you're going to defuse the short-term bearish momentum from an oversold condition. Then even if they're a bear, even if they're bad, the market will find an excuse to retest the 1425 area that it melted down through in the last couple days.
Now, you know, Alan, I got to tell you, these markets these days are just amazing, and I think all these pre-election jitters are justified, especially with what we've gone through over the course of the last 4 years. Alan Rohrbach, my friends, he is about as good as it gets, and to have him on this show, I hope you realize, is a real, real treat. Alan, thanks, my friend, for coming on.
My pleasure. Always great
being
here.
We're going to have to get you on the CME site and maybe do an interview together for a couple of minutes. How about
Sounds
that on the
good.
Open markets?
Look forward to that.
How about that, folks? Again, and I want a special thank you to Adam Westphal, who came out here and gave us a call from Connecticut, took time out of his day, talk about his sector work. I always love doing that. For me, I just want to say thank you, folks, for listening. This is Jack Berugin. Have yourselves a great day. I'll be with you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.